Welcome to the Freedom to Coach podcast with Gemma and Mikala. We're both coaches and entrepreneurs, passionate about teaching you how to set up and run your coaching business, create more time, and manage your mind. Because you're changing the world, one mind at a time. Hello, and welcome to episode 67 of the Freedom to Coach podcast. The podcast for coaches who are looking for more time and freedom in their businesses so they can keep on coaching. You've got Mikala here with you today, and I'm really excited to connect you with my guest, Nicole Stewart, who's a women's leadership coach. So, Nicole, thank you for being here. I'm really looking forward to having you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Wonderful. So, before we get into things, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. So I'm Nicole. As you said, my business is called The Deeply Satisfied Woman. And I love that as a business name because it's a great conversation. Yeah, great conversation starter in networking events. They always say, what's that say on your name tag? Like, cool. And I work with a lot of women in high pressure and high stress environments. So lots of my clients are dentists, women in the hospital system, like psychiatrists, registrars, and radiographers, and ladies like that, lawyers, business owners, and corporate professionals, women who are in high pressure environments, wanting to be the leader of either a team or their company or their life, and often struggling with stress and risking burnout, juggling the demands of the business that's really important to them with also trying to be a parent for many of them, and, you know, the dance that the sort of modern ambitious woman does.
Oh, absolutely.
And in so many of the women that I work with, I hear this sort of story of, I know I love my work. I know I love my husband or my spouse. I know I love my kids if I have them. Why am I not happy? Like, what's missing? I just feel exhausted and I don't feel connected to what I'm doing anymore. And I need to change something, but I don't know what it is. So it's the work that I do is around reconnecting women with a sense of their authentic femininity, getting them out of their heads and back in their bodies so they can enjoy their life, and generally helping them to feel more vital and inspired and connected to themselves in ways that make their careers sustainable.
Which is so important.
Super important.
So important. So what brought you to where you are right now? Like, how did you find yourself here?
Yeah, it's a bit of a career that I designed for myself, I suppose. So my background was in elite level sport, actually. Mm-hmm. And my coaching business started actually 13 years ago this month, which is funny. And I started out coaching athletes, either people who'd had an accident and wanted to recover their confidence, or people who were performing at their best and wanted to be able to really bring their A game in a competitive sense. And so I started out sort of mindset and performance coaching for athletes right up through to Olympic level. And I did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then I went through my own experience of burnout and the healing and recovery and growth journey, I suppose, that burnout catapulted me into helped me steer the ship of my business to working with other ambitious, aspirational female leaders. I call them ambitious ladies, who want to create awesome things in their lives, but who recognize that the how that they're going about that with is perhaps not sustainable, or they need to make some changes in that sense. They're risking burnout. They want to achieve the goals that are important to them, but they want to feel happy and satisfied and alive and congruent while they do that. Mm-hmm. And I love sort of touching both those things. It's not just about sort of well-being. It's really about well-being for people who are real goal setters and aspirational types. And it's an interesting balancing act when you do have that ambition as part of your personality, I suppose. You do run a business when you are somebody who wants to like put themselves out there and go for things. There's this interesting sort of nexus point between how do you care for yourself to make that sustainable. So it's fun.
And so you mentioned that you've experienced burnout yourself. Can you tell us a bit about like what that was like for you? Did you recognize that it was happening, or was it like so many of us where it was just, pam, into a brick wall?
Oh my gosh. Look, it was it I recognized that something was happening. I didn't necessarily catch on and call it burnout straight away, or sort of get diagnosed, if you will, as being in burnout straight away. I had a couple of life experiences around that time. I had a 7.5 year relationship end. I had a family member die, and I had a horse die. My sport was equestrian sports. And all of those things sort of obviously just tipped me into like a critical mass of the like a volume of emotional content along with all of the normal life stuff that was like just a tipping point in my system for whatever reason. And I just, I did hit the brick wall. It was like all of my motivation for the things that I knew that I loved, for riding my horses, for running my business, and sort of disappeared. I just wanted to sleep a lot. I knew that there was something happening, and I was fortunate that I was in a position that I was able to stop and go, oh, I'm going to trust this and see what happens and not panic. It certainly took me a long time to get to the other side and be able to sort of 2020 hindsight go, oh, that's what was happening. That's what was being reorganized in my life. And I think life includes some of those times of change for everybody, whether it comes with burnout or not, those sort of points where life says, hey, you're going to go in a different direction now. And life experiences or whatever happens to help us on our way, if you will. And it's often I find with hindsight that clarity comes around what was actually going on in those times.
And did you find it took you a while to get back on your feet, or?
Years,
Years,
yeah,
yeah.
years. Yep. At that point, I was 28 at the time, and I asked myself the question, do I want the next 10 years of my life to look the same as the last 10? And up until that point, I'd, alongside my business, been pursuing my own competitive goals in the equestrian sport of 3-day eventing and had competed up to 2 grades down from Olympic standard. And very much had my sights set on representing Australia one day. And the answer was no when I asked that question. I'd given everything to that sport for a decade and it was beautiful and I loved it, but it was my whole life between that and my business. I was working with athletes at the time, so it was just like my whole life was in there. And that, I think, asking that question helped me to start to let some things fall away. And so at that point, I gave up competitive horse riding and I sold some of my horses, and my lifestyle really changed as a result. And there was a period in there in my business where I actually went and like contracted out to some larger coaching companies. So I was still coaching people, but I was like, I don't want the pressure of having to do all my own marketing and to be the source of my own business. As you know, as like as your listeners will understand, as a business owner, there is this inherent risk in being a business owner, right? That means that the buck stops with you. And during that time for me, I needed some reprieve from that pressure. So I went out and contracted to some other companies and sustained some of my own clients in that time, but let myself relax a little bit and find my new bearings.
And have you always worked for yourself, or have you come from the corp? You have always worked for yourself? Wow, that's
My
fantastic.
dad is very entrepreneurial, so I grew up in a household with businesses and with mum working for dad, and that was just really normal. He had various businesses and worked a lot. And I think I started or tried to start my first business when I was about 10 and put flyers up around the local area, like advertising that I would walk people's dogs for them.
Yep.
And I mean, it didn't go particularly well, but like the seed was there.
It was
Totally.
fantastic. So, Nicole, when we were kind of corresponding about you being a guest on the podcast, you said one thing that really stood out for me, which was, in a world that trains us young to operate in very masculine ways, women learning how to be powerful as women is vital. So I'm really curious to know, from your perspective, in what ways do you believe that we as women have been trained to operate in masculine ways? I've got, like, it's really obvious to most, if not all, of everyone listening, but I just really want to hear your take on that one.
Sure. Yeah, great. So, I mean, there's layers to this, right? Let's talk about culturally. We live within a system that says your production is more important than like your well-being, if we were to really drill down to it, right? It's like your output and the results that you create are what define whether or not you're a valuable member of our society, whether or not you are like, it's very easy to internalize those in environmental conditions and say, well, if I'm not performing, then there's something wrong with me because I should be able to. Now, the production of results and the focus on outcomes and like a flavor of doingness as opposed to beingness is very masculine, is very inherently masculine. Right from schooling, it was like perform well in your tests and you get a gold star, follow the rules, like do the good things. Often in that, like doing and performing is this inherent requirement to contain and direct our energy, which again, we could describe as really masculine qualities if a feminine state is one of more spontaneity and less focus and more sort of non-linear creativity and flow and curiosity and like creativity wants to be said again. That environment that says take all of that life force, particularly when you're a little young person and you're like vibrant and alive and curious about the world, take all of that life force and sit in a chair and like pay attention and think and take in information and then regurgitate that information in a way that gets you validated. So, right from those really early expectations to be able to contain and get very cognitive, if you will, there is a way that we're really rewarded for our doing as opposed to our being. We're really rewarded for what we can create and achieve and the results that we can generate as opposed to our like emotionality and our feelings and our ability to be sensitive and attuned to other people. It's like those things are less valued by our society at large. And so women stepping into corporate environments or even the professional, like the business space, the entrepreneurial space is filled with a lot of messaging around like, there's that quote that says entrepreneurs live a few years of their life how other people won't, so they can live the rest of their life how other people can't. There's this emphasis on like push, go harder, Do more.
Yeah.
That's what makes you successful. You're not busy enough. Like, yeah. Come on, grind it out. Like, and that is, if I was to do a little history lesson, really, like,
please do.
Long time ago history, that in terms of our nervous systems and our biology, where we've evolved from as a species, there is a way that the male of our species has less peripheral vision than a female-bodied person. They're designed to be focused. They're out there hunting. They're pursuing the thing. They're like, we're going to go and hunt a gatherer. We're going to protect. The women, by contrast, are back at the encampment. We're close to the ground. You can't see me right now because this is an audio medium, but like, we're squatting close to the ground, so our weight is down in our hips and our legs. We have diffuse focus, foraging for food, so we're in our bodies, like, moving. We've got one eye on the little people, making sure they don't, like, put themselves in the campfire. We've got one eye on the top of the hill, watching for threats or seeing when the men are going to return. And there's this way that women, our nervous systems and biology and our aliveness is really designed to be, or we have evolved from a place of being designed to be much more in our bodies, like anchored down into our hips and our thighs, in our bodies, moving our bodies, being immersed in the environment, not so sitting at a desk, focused on the things, pursuing the goals. And that's not to say that women can't do those things, but this whole system that has been designed for and in support of those more masculine qualities of being really directive and goal-oriented and cognitive actually just don't work over time for women. Like, women burn out faster in the same environment as men, and yet still push themselves to try and keep up so that they can have the success that they want, so that they can prove themselves, so that they can achieve the things. And yes, that's a systemic issue and a cultural issue, but it's also our responsibility as women to learn how to put that stuff down and get back in our bodies. Because if we exist and just try and, like, play the dude game, then it doesn't work for our systems over time. And that there is a way more, like, organic, sympathetic with our female bodies and our biology and our emotional worlds way of running businesses and being successful, whatever that means to each individual, that is really joyful and enlivening and is more authentic.
Without risking taking us off on a tangent here, I just, when you were talking just then about, you know, being down in our hips and our thighs, I just thought, that's so interesting with you having, you know, with the horse riding and the equestrian.
Yeah. It's interesting though, and I will speak to that because it's a relevant piece here. A lot of the sport that we do, sport and mindfulness, is becoming more and more recognized for well-being. And I think that's really valuable. But so much of the sport that many people do, and horse riding very much included, is very linear. And so yoga, walking, horse riding, weightlifting, swimming, running, so many of the things that many of us do, which are really valuable for our well-being, are like these structured, linear, repetitive shapes with our physiology, symmetrical shapes. And again, if we were to invite our female bodies to move in a way that is a little bit more innately, like, organic, we could be doing some more, like, non-linear shapes and moving in ways that help our nervous systems and our bodies discharge the tension that we accumulate through our days. And teaching our bodies to be soft is actually such a part of the work that I do with women, because it's like, you know, not only are we a bit stuck in our heads for many women, but then we're also sitting at a desk in this like structured shape with our physiology. And it's so easy to become really stagnant when we just show up to the desk and do the desk shape and then go home and do the like couch shape and maybe then do the exercise, which is awesome. But there's this way that we can actually inhabit our bodies a lot more and experience a lot more vitality through creating different patterns of movement and interrupting some of those habitual states.
So can you talk a bit more about that? Like what are some of the, like, I mean, obviously dance comes to mind.
Dance is a good one. My favorite practice to do with women who are starting out with this is to say, put on like a song that you like that fits the mood that you're in, and don't look at yourself in any reflective surfaces. Close your eyes and take some breaths into your belly, and then just move your body however it feels. Don't try and look good. Just follow what actually feels good, because so many of us, and especially then this sort of connects to the way that women's sexuality and bodies are really objectified in our media, and our beauty is sort of consumed by our media, that women are so obsessed with looking good as opposed to feeling good. Hello? Life's meant to feel good, ladies. Like, come on. Stop trying to look all professional and like you've got your shit together. Like, feel yourselves. Excuse me, getting enthusiastic. But
I actually wish we were sharing this video, because it's been delightful watching you.
So, you know, put on a song that feels good and move your body however you feel, and make weird shapes, like, you know, challenge your normal habitual, like confront yourself a little bit. Be like, oh, what's it like if I move like this? What's it like if I move 10% slower? And you can think of this as, I'll explain this analogy while I demonstrate it to you, or it will make no sense, but I've got a water bottle and I'm going to shake it and say, imagine that this is a soda bottle. And life does this to us. It goes like shakes us, right?
Yep.
And business stress, kids being annoying, challenging with whatever, like life. And so many women hold it in, hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. And if you hold in the soda bottle and then when you try and open it, it just explodes, right? So we have to learn how to do that thing where you like partially open the lid and then close it again really quickly. They're like, shh, shh, shh.
The relief valve.
The little relief valve.
Yeah.
And so I like that you said those words, because what springs to mind for me is like the relief valve that is encouraged in our culture perhaps is like, let's go have some alcohol, like let's put on Netflix.
Yeah.
And some really healthy relief valves would be to like put on a song and move your body, like, or shake, like literally shake your body. It is embodying the release of the accumulated tension and experiences and unfelt feelings that might have moved through your day when you've been in the boardroom, or when you've been doing deals in your business and selling or prospecting or whatever it is that you are up to, which does involve some like stress and activation in the system, in the emotional world. So
I'm so glad you just said that, because I had a conversation with one of my business best friends last night about drinking. We were talking about why, like, you know, there's so much on that whole thing. There's so much that's been, we're being marketed to so heavily. It's in the book that I was reading the other night, you know, every single time it was, I can't remember the name of it. Well, it was. Every time the mums got together, it was a glass of wine in hand.
Yeah.
And yeah, we kind of talked from that. And then what are better ways to manage our stress? Because it's always the after we walk out of our, well, she's got a bricks and mortar business. After she closes the door and walks out of the bricks and mortar business and gets home, she obviously very clearly experiences exactly what you just talked about. And it's like the how do you do that? And yeah, we just automatically go to alcohol because that's the thing that's been put in front of our minds so much. But yeah, I love the idea of the, and like some of us, me for example, I go for a walk.
Yeah.
Doesn't hit it either. And now I know why.
Yeah. And what this is really talking about is that culturally we're really scared of emotions and vulnerability. Yep. And many of us, with lots of love and respect to our parents, who most of them did their best, I'm sure, and they were just giving us what they had to give, right?
Yep.
That most of us weren't raised in an environment that said, like, hey, how's your heart? How are you feeling? Tell me more about that. What's that like for you? Oh, do you want a hug? How about we shake it out? Like, how about we go and scream into a pillow? How about we punch a cushion instead of, you know, being destructive or whatever?
Mm.
Like, teaching healthy ways of expressing and moving life force and emotion and energy through little bodies is just not something that, like, it's becoming more spoken about now, right? But for those of us in our 30s and 40s who are like prime business having ages, most of us weren't necessarily raised in that environment.
And no, not at all.
For that, of course. And so most people, many adults, I won't say most, but many adults are really frightened of feeling emotions that like challenge them, that challenge their sense of self, that destabilize them, that have them think, oh my gosh, is my relationship breaking down? Am I failing at life? Like, so many people aren't equipped to actually be with themselves while they feel them, those things.
Mm.
And that's what this getting out of your head and into your body thing really is. And one of the reasons why so few people, I think, do it is because when you get in your body and you start feeling yourself, you have to feel all of those things. You have to feel all of the, like, I'm scared, you know, your friend's example of like getting home and there's all these sensations present of tension and fear and maybe some disappointment about that email that I got through the day that has been a customer complaint, or like all the things that we deal with as business owners produces sensation. And that sensation, emotional or physical sensation, is scary to the identity and to the ego. And instead of being able to be with ourselves and be like, oh, honey, you're scared. Oh, that's okay. Like we would with a child, right?
Yeah.
We're like, I'll have some alcohol. That'll fix it.
Yeah, I'll not deal with that.
And look, I'm all for some intentional escapism from time to time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but being intentional and choosing and knowing what you're choosing.
Yes.
Because if our body is like a filing cabinet for all of our unfelt feelings and all of the stress and tension that we might activate and accumulate in our lives, it doesn't just disappear if we choose not to move it through us or feel it. Unfortunately, it just hangs out there waiting for a more opportune moment.
Yeah, that is so true. So what other sort of tips or advice could you give to our listeners who are struggling with this whole, you know, the balance of the masculine and feminine and how to cope in this space that we're clearly not designed to function in?
My suggestion would be that really exploring giving yourself permission to write a totally new rule book for how you do life and business is
I love that you've said that.
We all have these like unconscious agreements that we make with ourselves or rules that we might follow in our lives. We learn them and we learn them through our experiences and through our conditioning, but the rule book is a little bit masculine. And I don't think that there is anything wrong at all with masculine qualities. Let me be really clear. Like, I have a healthy, reverential respect for men and the masculine, and masculine traits are important, but be able to like draw that sword and like kick ass and then put it down and relax. Learn to switch off. And if that's hard, then that's the very, I want to swear right now, freaking reason that
Go
you should
for
do
it.
it. Like, if it's hard to stop and relax, that is the very reason that you should become better at relaxing. So many of the women that I work with will start out and they're like, I get home and I'm like, I stop after my work day and then I feel anxious and I feel guilty. So I just do some more work. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? As business owners, you are the mistress of your own destiny. And if you don't designate when your workday finishes, no one's going to do it for you. Your clients aren't going to message you at 8 p.m. and be like, you know what, I think you should clock off now. And so actually learning to like contain yourself in a loving way and put down the doing and find what it is that makes you feel good and relaxed and soft. Like have a shower after work and put some music on and move your body and do some things that intentionally nourish your feminine. Go out into nature and put your feet on the grass and leave your phone inside and spend 10 minutes just like sniffing the air. That sounds so funny, but I love the smell of outside. It's like, you know, be in nature and feel the nature. Feel the grass under your feet or the sand between your toes if you're near the beach or the wind in your hair and the sun on your skin and look at nature and like take in beauty. Be in your sensing as opposed to in your like thinking and doing. And that practice that I suggested of putting a song on and moving your body, that's such a great one because it helps your mind entrain focus on the body because you're like, oh, am I breathing? What's it like to move this way? What am I feeling now? And it helps get you out of the what else do I have to do tomorrow? So I think that writing a rule book or writing, designing a way of doing business and life for you that is really works for you. I was working with a client of mine last year who is like a corporate lawyer, but also has two retail online retail businesses. And she recognized that she had always given herself such a hard time because she loved working at night. And it was just this sort of natural place where her mind was still and she could just do the things. And it felt less laborsome than trying to get up and work at 7:30 or 8 in the morning, like she thought she was meant to be able to. And so really simple things like we just moved her workday back to finish at midnight. And then she started work at like 10 or 11 the next morning. And she was like, this is the best. And she was so much more productive. And the time that she did spend with her husband was more meaningful because she was present and she'd stopped guilting herself. Like, design stuff that actually works for you and be prepared to throw out the this is how it's meant to be rule. Just put it in the bin. Stupid.
Because it's all made up anyway.
Totally. It's all made up anyway. That's exactly right. And so make something new up, make something that feels good up.
It's better that you make something up
Yeah.
than following something someone else made up.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and do things that help you train how to put the doing down and get back in your body and learn how to relax, learn how to stop.
Fantastic. For any new coaches who might be listening, who are starting their business, what's one tip or piece of advice that you'd give them?
Oh, any new coaches? Be persistent, upskill yourself. I don't think this is going to be one piece of tip or advice. I see that, you know, last decade, every man and their dog was a personal trainer. You could go out and you could do 6 weeks and you could become a personal trainer and you could go and meddle with people's physiology, which feels a little terrifying to me as someone who did
It
professional
does.
sport. And this decade, it seems to be I got an ad recently and I actually screenshotted it because I was like, this is ridiculous. It was like, come and do our life coaching course. This was on Instagram and it's $7 to come and do our life coaching course. And I was just like, what? Like, there is no governing body in our industry. There is no board that we answer to. And so anyone can call themselves a life coach. And so for that reason, people who are serious about having a coaching career need to be prepared to upskill themselves and not just be a life coach. And I mean that with a lot of respect for life coaches and a lot of care for people coming into this industry, because I'm so grateful that I am a coach and I really believe in this work. And I think that it can be an incredible career journey. But I think the other thing that is really beneficial for somebody coming into coaching is understanding that, like, combining your coaching skills with something else that you're already like an expert at or
Yes.
proficient at is really like niche it, right? Play it
Yes.
to your strengths. And that will make you more successful than just trying to be a coach. You know, if you've, I was talking with another work friend recently, or like another business girlfriend recently, who is going to go into a coaching accreditation next year or this year. And she's super excited and I'm so happy for her. And she has this deep background and like expert in the real estate space and in building wealth for people through real estate. And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to help people. I want to empower women around their money and I want to work with women to build their portfolios. And but I want to do it in a coaching angle as opposed to the like more selling them the properties angle that she's been in. And like that's going to be so cool for her. She has an angle. And so think about what your angle is if you're coming in as a coach. What has your journey in life through your profession thus far, your personal experiences, what has life like graced you with that you can gift to other people in the form of your expertise and your like refined knowledge and guidance?
That just fills my heart with joy to hear you say all of everything you just said. So, thank you so much for that.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
So, Nicole, can you tell us if anyone listening today really wants to connect with you and to find out a bit more about what you do, what have you got for us? Where can they go?
I would love for you to head to my website if that's the case. And my web address is nicolestewart.coach. So it's NicoleStewart.coach. You'll find everything that you need there. Actually, there's a beautiful 14-day guided meditation journey on my website under the programs tab, if you're hunting around, that's totally free to sign up for and is a beautiful supporting structure to help women do this stop and get in their bodies piece that we've been talking about. And so it's just a daily, less than 10 minutes guided practice delivered to their inbox each morning, where I will talk you through different flavors of getting into your body and feeling yourself and feeling safe doing that.
Love it. I'll have those links in the show notes.
Awesome.
And so, last question. What is the main thought or key takeaway that you would like our listeners to leave this episode with stuck front and center in their brain?
Like life and business is really for your designing, and it's meant to feel good. Like, let's create businesses that turn us on a little bit and are like, oh, yum, I get to do this thing that I love. How exciting! And that as women, as female-bodied creatures, we're designed to be effulgent and soft and feeling good. And I think there's a narrative around that being weak or less productive and valuable. And I just want to say to women out there that actually you can have the success that you want and feel like damn good while you do it. And to follow that curiosity, if that sort of inspires you or lights you up or like makes your like makes you tingle a little bit, then follow that. And because life is not just meant to be production and results and then go to sleep and repeat. It's like we're here this one precious time, and why not make it really like outstanding, mouth-watering.
I love it. Nicole, just thank you for your time. It's been an absolute delight having you on the podcast today. And I'm sure our audience, well, I really hope our audience, I'm certainly going to be talking to two of my friends and having them listen to this episode.
Love that.
Yeah, it's been really fabulous talking to you and hearing your perspective on things. And yeah, I've learned some things too.
I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you for your time and for welcoming me on here. It's been really fun.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you enjoyed it, hit subscribe. If you'd like to learn more about how we can give you the freedom to coach, then check out our website, www.freedomtocoach.com.au. Until next time, take care and keep on coaching.